Good morning. Man, I pray everybody is doing well on this beautiful Sunday morning. And you know why it's beautiful? It's beautiful because God is good.
All the time.
God is good. We hope that you have a good Easter, and I hope that you are prepared now that I am back with you once again. But look around, give somebody a wave that says, hey, you know, I'm glad that you are here today. I really am. Online audience, it's great to have you with us as part of our worship services as always, and we can continue to pray for each and every one of you as always. Our very own minister of the keyboard, Dr. John Cazito, is over there. If you have questions or anything, you can ask them online, and he will get you answers, or you can contact us either way. But we're so glad that you are here today, and we look forward to gathering around God's Word today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that we have. Lord, I pray that we will never overlook the opportunity of being able to come together as like-minded believers, Lord, especially around your word. Today, Lord, I pray that you will just fill us with your spirit as we lift our voices in song to you, And Lord, sometimes we can find ourselves in a rut. I pray, Lord, that in all that we do, it may be true worship to you today. Lord, as we lift up our voices in song, may it not be something that we do out of habit, but Lord, that we would concentrate on the words that we're lifting up, that they come from our heart, not just from our lips. Lord, help us as we pray, not to just give you lip service, but Father, to speak to you. Lord, to do so with conviction and with belief. Lord, I pray that as we gather around your word, we know you've given us a promise that your word will come to life. Your word is powerful. It is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you will speak to each and every one of us today if we will only give ear. So, Father, as we've read in your word, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And, Lord, we'll praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Please stand as we sing 411.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the Savior. The Lord Jesus, Jesus, now I'm trusting, now I'm moving more and more. Jesus,
feels good to be back, as they say. Feels good to be back. Listen, if you got your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages today that come out of Matthew's Gospel and chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Yeah, I think sometimes what happens is we can get we can get cliche in our answers. Have you ever done that? Let me give you an example. Somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, you've already had it done today. Somebody comes up and says, hey, how are you doing? What do we say? Fine. Are we always doing fine? No, we're not. Yeah, a lot of times there's burdens in our heart. There are different things that are going on in our lives. And these are things that can wear us down, not only physically, but they can wear us down psychologically as well. Amen? So, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, through this past week. There's a lot of things that went through this crazy mind of mine. But one of the biggest things that if people were honest when you sat back and said, how are you doing? This is actually what I've been hearing more of lately. I'm tired. How many of you can relate? You're tired. Whatever the circumstance, you might be tired physically. You might be tired mentally. You might be tired emotionally. You're tired. There's all different kinds of tired along the way. And we do get that way along our journey. We live in a world that is filled with busyness. We live in a world that is filled with chaos. And many people are feeling very, very weary and burdened in this day and age. Now, the good news is that Jesus offers us rest for our soul. And today, we want to explore that for just a moment. It's a very familiar passage, I hope, to each and every one of us. But I hope and pray that this morning we will look at it from a different perspective. You know, I hope we'll look at it in 4D instead of 2D. Now, some of you all understood that. If you're younger, the rest of you didn't, because you said he left out 3D. We have 4D now. That's when they blow air on you and things feel like they're happening around you. It's kind of weird, but yet it's what it is. What's that? Am I dead, Ernie? Okay. Check, check. Hey, I can sing bass in a gospel quartet now. There we go. There we go. Thank you for pointing that out. It sounds a little bit different up here than it is out there, but we appreciate that. So at any rate, we want to look at our scripture text today that comes out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Again, it's a familiar verse, but I'm hoping that you're going to take a little perspective on this. Okay, Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28, says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we pray that we would give attention to the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that our hearts are prepared to meet you here today. Father, I know one of Satan's biggest tools is distraction. Lord, I pray that you will help our minds to stay upon you, to stay upon your word for these next few moments, that we will truly hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us personally. Lord, may we act. May we have courage to act upon what it is that you teach us and what it is that you show us. And Lord, just draw us close to you. If there's one that's within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you today, Lord, I pray that your conviction would be upon their heart and they would surrender to what life is really, really all about and what eternal life is all about as well. So, Lord, bless this time. Bless me as your messenger for the moments. And, Lord, may you be exalted in all that is said and all that is done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're tired, and I know all of us at some point are, probably you're sitting back going, that's every day of my life in this day. And like I say, I'm not talking about just physically tired. You went out and ran a marathon or something. But I will tell you this, an emotional tired is almost worse. Some people will say that it is. Even statistics say that an emotional tired is worse than a physical tired, because you can get some sleep and be rejuvenated on the physical side of things. But when you've got something that just is emotionally hanging around in your mind, you wake up with the same weariness that you went to bed with. Now, a lot of us know the answer to this question. You know, what should we do when we find ourselves in the midst of something like that? And if I were to ask you, I believe that every one of you are spiritual enough that you would say, take it to the Lord in prayer. Yeah. You would sit back and say, they ought to write a song about that. Yeah. Yeah, take it to the Lord. And you're right. But there's a couple other things that go along with that. Now, yeah, I can just imagine what it must have been like as Jesus gave this encouraging news. Listen, if you're here today and you're worried, I want you to know there's good and encouraging news for you. And this verse right here should make you shout and dance. So look at verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, man, isn't that what you want to hear in the midst of the tribulations? Isn't that what you want to hear? If you're out doing something and you're working on some physical labor and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, look, let me help you out a little bit. Let me jump in there with you. Let me share the burden with you. That always tends to make it a little bit easier, doesn't it? Now, we at times will tend to do that. If we see those things, we will tend to step alongside somebody and help them out. But there's a lot of things that we don't share with those that are around us. Now, don't think God doesn't know about them, because he does. But he is telling you, he is telling me, you can bring everything to me. And we know, listen, we know that, don't we? How many of y'all know that? I can take everything to the Lord. Okay, let me ask you this then. Then why don't we do it? Now, here's the trick. You're saying, well, preacher, I do carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Yeah, but you don't leave it with him. How many of you are picker-uppers? There's my people. You will take it to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my thing. Handle it. But I'll bring it back to you later. You pick it back up and you carry it with. So listen, this ought to be good news to believers, for you when you're tired and you need strength for the journey. Somebody ought to write a devotional about that, strength for the journey. When you need strength for the journey, then you ought to be able to go to the Lord. You're leaving it with him, and he has given us this promise. Listen, underline that in your Bible. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now all of a sudden you're reading that in the right heart and in the right intent and with the right spirit, and you go, whew, wow, yeah, I can do that. And there's a sense of relief along the way. You know what that's like when somebody comes alongside you and helps you maybe with a project or something else when you're tired. Have you ever been so tired you just couldn't think right? Yeah, I still remember when the guy was putting up sheetrock in our house, and I mean, this guy was moving. He's done this, I think, for like 40 years, and they literally hung all the sheetrock in my house in one day, with the exception of two boards. And I still remember being up there, and he's like, I'm done for the day. He said, my brain's not thinking right, and one of the most incredible drywall hangers I ever saw in my life. Because I could carry in my hands the amount of waste left over from that job. And this guy knew what he was doing, but he's like, nope, I can't think right now. He said, I'll be back in the morning to put those two boards in. And sometimes you just got to step back. Sometimes you just have to step back from a situation and take a breath. Listen, we should be doing that with the Lord anyway, with all this stuff. And folks, there are people in this room that got a lot of stuff going on in your life, don't you? You're carrying some heavy, heavy burdens along the way. And you just don't feel like at times you can get one foot in front of the other. But the Lord says, you come to me. You're weary and you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that sound encouraging? I mean, for me, I'm sitting there thinking, wow. We just need to remember this. But then something happens in the next verse. I can still remember for how many years I had read this particular passage. But then look what happens next. He says this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me stop right there. Lord, I carried something to you, and you tell me you're going to give me rest. Now you're telling me to take up a yoke. That don't sound like rest, does it? It almost sounds kind of counterintuitive. I'm like, if you want to rest, it's not like, oh, here, you know, let me help you. Let me take that tool away from you. Now go get the rest of my tools and come on back over here. No, it just sounds counterintuitive. And I really got to thinking about that as I was reading through it. And ironically enough, there were two things that came to my mind as I was thinking about this. Number one, I was thinking about what we see in Cuba, because we have seen animals who wear a yoke. I have also seen that when I was growing up back in the day, and I thought about Mr. Carl. I thought about you plowing with the mules over the years, and you had to put a yoke on them, didn't you? Okay? And so what happens is we get this idea about what a yoke is. Now, if I were to ask you right now, I said, I want you to get a picture of an animal yoke, not an egg yoke. We left breakfast behind a little while ago. An animal yoke. Most of us know what's going. You know what that is, right? You know that collar that goes around, a horse, an ox, whatever it is that you're going to be pulling something with. And if I were to ask you to get a picture in your mind of what a yoke looks like, I want you to get that picture in your mind right now. Because there was something that suddenly dawned on me about this whole thing. You probably have in your mind the same picture I had in my mind when I pictured that. Now, some of them are more fancy than others. Some of them were made out of wood. Some of them were made out of leather and everything else. But here's what you probably did. And I'm going to ask you, when you thought about that yoke, did you think about a single yoke? Just one? How many of y'all, when you had that picture in your mind, you thought of a single yoke? See, there's where our problem is. Because when we think about that, that's generally where our mind goes. This single yoke. Now, if you're just plowing with one animal, then obviously you're going to use a single yoke. That's when the mule becomes weary and heavy laden at times, because he's the only one. But you know what? There's times when there's two. You get two of them up there beside each other. And the yoke looks different then, doesn't it? I'll call it a two-man yoke, even though you don't put men in them. It's a two-man yoke. And the more I thought about that, I still remember asking a guy back in the old days who farmed. It's funny how God takes experiences in your life and then he pulls them together later on in life. And I can still remember watching a guy that plowed I'll call them cows. I mean, they may have been bulls, but they may have been bulls. But at any rate, he was using cattle by which to plow his fields. There was two of them. And when I looked out there and I saw that, what caught my eye was this. One of them was bigger than the other one, significantly. And I said, What's the story? And he goes, well, he goes, that little one over there is new at this. He said, that little one over there, this is actually his, it's only about his second time in the yoke. And I said, oh, okay. I said, so what does that mean? He said, well, he's a little bit young and rambunctious. And he said, so what I did was I put him with this old pro in the yoke. He said, I put him with the old man that's got the experience. He said, I put him beside that one who would in turn teach him to be a good plow puller. And he said, I said, well, how'd that go? He goes, well, it's had its moments. And he said, that little one still tries to go and do his own thing. Are y'all picking up some spiritual reference stuff going on in here? He said, that little one likes to try to go do his own thing. But he can't, because he's in the yoke with the one who is bigger and stronger and knows what needs to be going on. Now, let me get spiritual again with you for just a minute. What is it that Jesus said to us? Abide in me and I in you. What does abide mean? Abide means to stay with. Now, let's go back to our text for just a minute, because I think we see something incredibly important in here that I missed for a lot of years. This is not really counterintuitive. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. All right? Now here, this is what I picture. I picture sitting there trying to do the job, and I'm just flat out, man. I'm pulling a heavy burden, and the Lord says, "Don't you take that yoke off?" And I'm like, whew. And then He says, "Well, come on over here and get in this one with me." And the last thing you want to do is get in one with somebody else. You're like, I thought you said you were going to give me some rest. Well, He does, because let me tell you what happens. Just like I pictured that little cow, bull, whatever, in that yoke beside that big bull. See, that's kind of the way I picture me and God. You know, I go over and get in that yoke, and the yoke don't fit me. Okay? And then what happens is all of a sudden we start going down my life's journey, my life's road. And the thing about it is, I'm so little, my feet can't even touch the ground. They're dangling. Yeah. Right there with the big bull, with the big man, with God right by my side. He is the one who is pulling the load. Do you get it? He is the one who is in your journey. Yeah, I also thought about, too, back in my very early days in ministry as a staff member, there were a lot of times that there would be funeral services that would be held during the day. And what would happen would be, as a staff member, I would usually wind up being a pallbearer at these funerals. And I don't know what it was, but back there in that particular time frame, time era, they always liked those really, really nice wooden caskets. You know what I'm saying? You know, the ones that weigh about 10,000 pounds each. And it always seemed, it was you know, one of our older senior saints that passed away. And listen, let me tell you something. They loved their Sunday school class. They really did. So what they would say is, I want my Sunday school class to be my pallbearers. They were probably 163 years old each. Y'all picking up what I'm saying? And I can still remember me and the other young sound guy. And, you know, we got out there and got ready to head out of the church. And, you know, we had to pick that casket up. And when I picked that casket up, every vein in my neck was bulging. It was everything I could do to get it up off of the caisson. I thought, we ain't going to make it this 300 yards across this cemetery. You know, that's always the way it is. I thought, I ain't going to make it. And I looked over at the other young guy on the other side, and the veins in his neck and head were popping out as well. And I'm like, this was a little guy. What is going on here? And then I thought, let me check my help. And I looked at the hand in front of me, and that older guy just had his hand resting on the handle. And the guy in front of him just had his hand resting on the handle. And the guy on the other side just resting on that. There was two of us that were carrying the load. Thank goodness for an astute funeral director who saw what was going on. Actually, two of them. One got on the front and one got on the back. And boy, let me tell you something. I was so glad, because I was about ready to go down. The other guy who had some stake in the game, he was about ready to go down too. But if it wouldn't have been for them, it would have been bad. And I thought, man, how much easier is it when there's help? How much easier is it when we allow God to be the one that bears the casket? Now I told that story simply because, essentially, when it is us, and when we get in that yoke with the master, we're like my old buddies. We just got a hand on the handle, because he is doing the heavy lifting. He is the one who is carrying us down our journey. You know, you're like that little happy cow that your feet's all just dangling going, "Whee, this is kind of fun." You don't have any pressure whatsoever. Now, some of you right now are sitting there thinking, "I would love to have that in my life." You can. It is taking it to the Lord. It is taking up His yoke. It's laying yours down and getting in His. And when you get in His, He is the one who does the work. And as long as you abide in Him, key thing, you know what? I'm sitting here thinking, if I have to plow this journey, meaning my life, and my feet are just dangling on the journey, I think I'm going to try to stay here. I think I'd rather have God right over here beside me doing the heavy lifting on everything in my life. And here's the really cool part. God is never going to look at you and say, "How come you're not doing your part?" Because God is able. God has the strength. God has the endurance that you and I don't have. So this is not really counterintuitive. Let's go back to it. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Thank you, Lord. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Get in His yoke. He's going to be the one that is going to be taking care of all of it. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Isn't that what we really want? Isn't that peace? You know, I love what the Word says, and I've used this term and probably will as long as the Lord gives me breath. The peace that passes all understanding. There's something special about that. What that means is you can't even describe it. What that means is in the middle of everything going wrong, you still have peace. What that means is when life seems to be falling apart, God will give you peace. Because you know why? All of a sudden you begin to say, "Well, I'm not the person leading the plow. I am the person who is with the master who knows the plan. I am the person who is with the one who is taking us down this, what seems to be a dark road." But remember the Lord's Prayer, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." He's with you. Listen, don't be that little bull that wants to just go run around and do his own thing. Yoke yourself with the master. Get in his yoke. Two, and see all the time, don't we do that? We always think about ourselves. And like me, and three of you that were honest in here, the rest of you needed to repent. Yeah, when you thought about a yoke, you thought about the little oval thing, a little leather, you know, the kind of nice one and everything else. That's what you did. You thought about a single one. Most people didn't think about a team. Tammy did, though. I appreciated her. She thought about a team. She's spiritual. Y'all get her very close to her. Give her a hug. Maybe it'll rub off on you before you leave here today. But most people don't think about a team. Most of the time, what we think about is a single. And yet the Lord says, "Put down your single yoke and come over here and get in mine." Oh, and by the way, we're going to plow my field for you. Do you see how many lessons are in this thing? How many times do we want to do things our way? We want our plan rather than God's plan, God's way. You know, it's so funny when we pray, and I love the outline of the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Do you understand that statement? On earth as it is in heaven. That means he's got a plan. He's already got a plan in heaven for your life, where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do. And sometimes it takes you through some very dark valleys. But he says, don't worry about the dark valleys, because I'm with you. This is the journey. This is the way we're going to go. And there's a reason for it. So, Lord, I want your will. That's the key. Because in all honesty, most of the time, we don't want the Lord's will. We want our will, don't we? Oh, yeah, let's just be honest. We like to get our way. How many of y'all like to get your way? Oh, come on now. I'm leaving time up for this one. How many of you like to get your way? You will angle and try to manipulate it, whether you know it or not. You like to try to get your way. See, we do the same thing spiritually. We do the same thing with God. Lord, I know this is what you want. That's an interesting key part, too. I know this is what you want, but I want to help you here a little bit. I think I could bring something to the table by doing it this way. How many of y'all have ever done that? You're going to help God. Oh, I'm not going to let you answer this question, but the question simply is this. How'd that work out for you? In my life, it's never worked out good. But you see, to put down the single yoke, to take on his yoke means to come over to where he is, to come over to where his path is. I always loved experiencing God. I think that was one of the great moments throughout Christian history. Most of y'all probably did an Experiencing God workbook or something at some time. I love what Henry Blackaby said. He said, you know, the idea is to find where God is working and go join him where he is. It's not about saying, God, I'm going to create this and I want you to come bless it. No. Find out where God is and what God is doing and go join him. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If you're going to take on his yoke, it's a two-man yoke, you're going to have to be where he is. Amen? Not out in left field with a single yoke where you are. I have actually pulled a plow before. I don't know if anybody has ever seen a person pull a plow before. They are definitely not as good as an animal. And I pulled one row one time, and I said, I'm done with this. My shoulders hurt. Everything hurt. And I said, I'm coming out of this, but I'll tell you this. I would walk right beside an oxen or a cow or a mule, and I would pet them and feed them as long as they walked down that row for me. Carl, you might have to hit them every now and then with a piece of hickory stick, right? Sometimes you get them going, you might. I say that in jest because Carl never hit them mules. He loved them too much. He might swat them on the fanny a little bit to get them going, but that'd be about it. But he said, look, stop what you're doing. Some of you today need to stop what you're doing. You are plowing ground. It is hard ground. And you're trying to make something. And God said, I never asked you to try to make something over there. I asked you to stop that, put it down, come over here, get in this yoke, and watch what I'll do. Like I said before, me, my feet are dangling. I'm like, woo, watch what God's doing. He's doing all the work. Now, do not take that as a sign for us to get spiritually lazy. God says some things about that, too. Okay? Your rest, notice, comes in the process of the work continuing on. Ooh. You know, people have said before, we were talking about it, we had the missions conference this weekend, the state mission conference in Charlotte, and that's one of the things you have to be at. I'm a Region 5 director, and they were talking about, how long have you been in ministry? And I said, well, are you talking about full-time or, you know, since I was called? And I said, I had to figure it up, but I said, it's like 37 years. I've been preaching for 37 years. Now, here's the interesting part. I know I don't look that old, but It doesn't feel like 37 years. You know why it doesn't feel like 37 years? Because I have enjoyed every time God has ever given me a chance. And some of you know, they tell you if you are doing what you love to do, you will never work a day in your life. All of a sudden you turn around and 37 years has slipped through your fingers like sand. Some of you, it's more than that. When God lets you do what you love to do, you can be tired in the ministry, but you can't get tired of the ministry. And we're all called to do something. I got something special for you. Several specials coming up for homecoming. So you better mark that date down. That's it's in May. I think it's a week after Mother's Day, isn't it? Yeah, week after Mother's Day. A lot of special stuff going to be going on that day. But folks, I want you to know you are all a part of it. And the thing about it is, the Lord today, the Lord has just pulled up beside you. And he sees you laying there with that yoke around your neck, that single yoke around your neck. He sees you laying there with the blood, the sweat, the tears. He sees everything that's coming out of you. And he says, listen, you're tired. But you come over here to me, and I will give you rest. Slip right in this yoke. Don't quit. Don't quit. Look, here, fits you perfect. Slip your head right in this yoke, and we'll do this together. Have you ever really gotten that perspective out of that verse? I never really had. But matter of fact, for me, I kept saying, well, that just seems like counterproductive. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When somebody gives me rest, that means they tell you, you need to sit down before you pass out. Yeah, we'll pick up some slack here. But then the next verse, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How true it is. Now notice the last part of that verse. He says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why? Because he's doing all the work. He's doing all the work. Now, that's not just in physical labor. Remember what we talked about when we started this message today. Some of you in here are tired. Some of you in here are physically tired. Some of you in here are emotionally tired. And some of you in here are spiritually tired. You're just tired. Don't quit. Listen, the Lord just walked up to you just now and said this. Why don't you put that yoke down and come on over here with me? I got you. What is our statement that we use in society? I got you back. Come on in here. You ever been picking something up heavy and I mean, you were doing the best you could, and then all of a sudden somebody ran over to help you, and then it felt like that sofa or dresser or whatever, you were about to throw it through the ceiling because they took the pressure off. God is saying this. Come on over here. I got a slot for you. Don't quit. No, no, no. Get back up. You just come stick your head on this side of me in my yoke, and I got you back. Don't quit. Too many people quit. Too many people have quit in their spiritual life. Too many people have quit because they sit back and say, well, I'm no good at it. It's hard. I'm tired. Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right on all three accounts. It is a difficult journey. It is a tiring journey. It is oftentimes a heartbreaking journey. But you know what Jesus said? You suffer for me that we will celebrate in the kingdom. You know, I'm only here for a little while. Yeah, I think about when I get to be 100,000 years old. Can y'all wrap your mind around that? You know, we're all going to get a birthday cake, and we're all going to go up to Monica and say, Monica's 100,000 years old today. Let's sing happy birthday to her. Monica, you look great for 100,000 years old. You know, we can't fathom that. We are only here for a moment. Let us work. What was it the Bible tells us? Work today, for the night is coming when no man will have that opportunity to work anymore. Give it all you have. Yes, you will get tired. Yes, you will get weary. But yes, there will be an eternal significance made in the kingdom of heaven because of you. I said you. You personally mean so much to so many people, some that you don't even know about. There is somebody that is trying to emulate your life. That's almost scary when you think about it, isn't it? There is somebody that looks up to you, and some of y'all are out there going, no. Oh, yeah. There is somebody that looks at your life and wants, they want your life. They want to be what you are. What sort of example are you being to them? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I, the Lord, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You want rest? You want peace? Here is the answer. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can we do that? Is that something we're willing to do? See, Jesus offers us a beautiful invitation to find rest in him. So let's take hold of this promise and come to him with our burdens, knowing that he will give us the rest that we so desperately need. There is something about that kind of peace. Amen? Which yoke are you going to choose today? Are you going to stay with your yoke, or are you going to get into his? I don't know about you. I'd a whole lot rather just kind of hang out with him. Now, again, that's not a license to be lazy. But you will find that he will. And here's another cool part. I didn't even mention this part. But that big bull, when I was talking to the guy years ago, he said he was explaining how he put the little one with the big one so that the little one will learn what to do and it'll come natural to him and everything else. Guess who led the plow? The big bull. He knew where to go. He knew where to turn. He knew how to turn. And all the while, the little one was right there with him because he was yoked. You want to get on God's path? Yoke yourself to him because he will carry you in the proper path. That's another sermon for another day, but I threw that in there for free, okay? No charge on that one today. Are we walking with the Master? Are we yoked with him? It's a two-man yoke, not a one-man yoke. And he's the one who will carry us where we need to be. Brad, you guys come on up. As always, there's an opportunity to encounter our Lord today. I say an opportunity because, first of all, my question is always, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? I get specific in that because there are so many people that are messed up in what salvation is really all about. They say, well, I'm a good person. Okay. A lot of times I'll ask somebody, in your personal opinion, because everybody's got an opinion, don't they? In your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? And then I'll hear all kinds of things. Well, I'm a good person. And? Well, I serve in my church. And? Well, I give generously. And then finally it's like, well, what are you getting at? I said, I'm getting at what the point of salvation is. How do you know that you're a believer? Because let me tell you what the Word says. The Word says that you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And everything you just told me was about your works. I do that in a kind way, by the way. It's not about your works. It's not about what you do. I have said this so many times, y'all are probably tired of hearing it. I believe hell's going to be full of church people. Hell's going to be full of religious people who Satan has deceived about what salvation's really all about. And they sit in our churches across this world every week. Do you have a personal relationship with the Father? Have you confessed that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior? Lord, I realize that I was born into this world a sinner, and only takes one sin to go to hell. Have you ever lied? You ever stolen something? Have you ever had a bad thought? All of us are sinners, and we fall short of the glory of God. But he says this. Jesus paid it all. Calvary's cross, lived some 33 sinless years, went to the cross, went through the tomb, and resurrected on the third day. And there's victory in that. Death has no victory. Sin has no sting. But you trust him. I've always said it like this. It's really simple. If I brought you a gift, when it was nice, it was wrapped all nice. If you knew, if it was wrapped nice, you would know Jana wrapped it, not me. And I said, here, I've got something. Ben, I got something for you. And I'm holding it out. What does Ben need to do? He's got to take it. I mean, I'm not going to force Ben to take my gift. But I'm going to say, hey, man, I was thinking about you, brother. Just a little something for you. And then Ben, hopefully Ben would take it and be like a little kid. He would probably try to, you know, maintain that composure, you know. Some of us just, yeah, kids are at Christmas. Wow, paper flying everywhere. I think that's what God really wants us to do, but sometimes we go, try to be really nice and opening the gift. And then all of a sudden, Ben gets the best gift that he's ever had in his life. Salvation through Jesus Christ. The greatest gift of all. Today, if he is knocking on your heart, not me, I can't save anybody. But if you feel the Lord speaking to your heart about salvation, he is offering you the gift of eternal life. It's up to you whether or not you take it. How do you receive the gift? How do you take it? You can take it by confessing to him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe what Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, I believe. It's plain and simple. If that's you today and you feel the Lord calling you in your heart to salvation, right where you are, just bow your head. If you're driving, don't bow your head. And say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe in what Jesus accomplished at Calvary. So, Lord, I give myself to you. Now, Lord, help me to get into your yoke and follow you. Help me to learn and grow in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you did that, you've just entered it. You and the Lord are now pals. You're introduced. You're one of his children. Now, I'm going to say it like I learned it growing up. You're one of his children. Act like it. There's a learning curve. We're all still growing. Matter of fact, some of you that are growing today, just realize some things. The Lord, the Holy Spirit was just sitting there going, Instead of you punching your neighbor or your wife or whatever about a certain point, the Holy Spirit's punching you going, it's time to lay down your yoke and take his up. I pray right now that you will do business with the Father in such a manner that when you leave here, you will understand the true peace. You will understand the true rest that comes only from him. As always, there's an old-fashioned altar up here. If you need me to pray with you, I'm here. Listen, if you trust in Jesus, I want you to let us know. If you're part of our online audience, let Dr. John know. He'll let me know. We'll celebrate with you. We want you to be a part of our family here, not just our family throughout all of eternity, but we want to celebrate with you. So what is it that God has placed in your heart today? Deal with him as we stand and sing our invitation hymn. Number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. That in all that you say and do, you will walk out of here with peace in your heart. I pray that as you take these moments to reflect upon his goodness, that you will truly, right now, even as we speak, put your single yoke down, get in it with him, and watch him do some incredible things. I pray you walk away from here with peace in your heart. But before you do, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, you truly are good to us, and we thank you for the many, many blessings in our lives. And Lord, today as we come to you in yet another act of worship to return to you the portion that you have so richly and graciously blessed us with, Lord, may we be found faithful. Lord, may we prove to you that we can be trusted with what you've given us. And Lord, help us as your church to be good stewards of everything that belongs to you as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Let me give you just a couple things before we get out of here. Birthdays coming up this week. We got a bunch of birthdays this week. Today is Jimmy McDonald's birthday. Now, Jimmy, I think, is helping his daughter with a project down at the coast, but should be back. But Jimmy will be celebrating a birthday. Be sure to let him know how much you love him. On Wednesday, the 15th, Jeff Pickard will be having a birthday. So give him a call or a text and let him know you love him. Then Thursday, Russell Wright. We'll be celebrating his birthday, as well as Jamie Edwards, which is Jimmy and Debbie's oldest daughter. She'll be celebrating her birthday on Friday. So we had a lot of them coming up this week. So be sure to reach out to those folks and let them know you love them and care about them. Let me tell you about what we got going on for this week. There was a planned health and safety meeting today. That has been postponed. So we'll let you know a little bit more about when that gets rescheduled. I will be having my discipleship group meeting. My D-Life group will meet at 3:30. Choir practice, 4:45. So right here, if you're part of the choir or want to be part of the choir, come on down. Juana is at its normal time, which is 5:30 over in the Family Life Center. And then, let's see, Sunday night Bible study, 6 o'clock, right, well, I say right here, but right down that hall on the left. With Pastor David, that'll be 6 o'clock, and then wind ensemble practice is that I think yeah we do have okay wind ensemble will be practicing right after the Sunday night Bible study. Just a couple things. Steve and Mari's D groups both will meet on Monday night. Steve's meets right here at 6 o'clock. Mari's meets at their home at 6:30. There's a half hour time difference between those, so you guys know where you need to be. Just don't count on me telling you the exact right information, because there's a whole bunch of information, so you know what you got to do. Got an event coming up on the 16th, that's this Thursday, isn't it, David? That's the senior adult dinner at Cornet Seafood in Rural Hall. That's going to be from 4 to 6. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the narthex. If you're going to attend, how about stopping by there and putting your name on that? But then there's also one that's going to be for the Camp Carefree workers. They'll be having dinner on the 30th at Country Barbecue in High Point from 4 to 6. There is also a sign-up sheet out there. Make sure you sign up on the right sheet, because we will hold you accountable for which one you go to. If you sign the wrong one, we anticipate you being there. We'll come collect it. So I'm picking at you. But just pay attention to which one you're signing up for. You might be signing up for both of them. That's perfectly fine, but just realize which ones they are. Next Ladies Connection meeting is going to be May the 6th, 4 o'clock, right here at Family Life Center. And then the next Ladies Breakfast will be May the 13th at Cagney's, at Friendly Center, Cagney's Restaurant. Just to let you know, a couple of things, and then we'll have David come up and dismiss us in a word of prayer. For those of you who may not know, it was a couple of weeks ago that Awaken did announce the beginning of a Capitals campaign. They're also in the process of looking for their home, their permanent church home. So we want to pray for them. That's exciting news. God's been good to them. We're just going to be praying for them as they seek where the Lord would have for them to have their church home, and we want to pray for them. By the way, keep Pastor Jim in your prayers. Last week, Pastor Jim had a heart attack, so he is not preaching today. I think he stopped by to say a special thank you to the crowd. They did find some blockages. They were able to stent those blockages, but keep Pastor Jim in your prayers as he is in the process of recovery there. Also, as another note, Revolution Academy is they're in the process of clearing land. Their groundbreaking is going to be any day now, so we want to continue to pray for them. Central Baptist has been able to be a part of the lives of Awaken Church as well as Revolution Academy, doing what we feel like the Lord had asked us to do. But there's exciting times ahead for both of these, both Awaken Church as well as Revolution Academy, as they're taking their next steps into the future. So do keep them in your prayers. And also, as a little bit of a fellowship time kind of thing, things went over so nicely with the with being able to have coffee again that we're having that each week. So that's going to be, if you come in and you want a cup of coffee, you can go right through those doors back there, and things will be set up. There may be some other things a little forthcoming now. You might even find a cookie or two as we go forward. Spend a little time in fellowship together with one another, because we can certainly do that. Amen? I think Baptists define fellowship. That's the best way to say it. That means we eat at just about everything that we do. That's okay. So is there anything I have forgotten that... because I do forget. Listen, guys, I love you. It is so good to be back in my place, although I appreciate every believer a witness. It's time for this believer to be a witness right here from the pulpit of Central Baptist Church. Pastor David, come on up. Let us know anything we need to know, and see us off in a word of prayer.
Just one word about this Thursday's meeting. Please sign up, because I have to turn in a number for that by Tuesday. So please sign up if you can go eat with us. The meal is free. You can order from the menu, get what you want, and not have to pay for it, and not have to wash any dishes after it's over with. That's a nice thing about eating out, isn't it? Also remind you guys, it was on the board here, but we have breakfast every Wednesday morning at Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. You have to say that right. Not how it's pronounced, not how it's spelled, but how you say it. You have to pay for that one. But the first one's free. First time you come is free. So if you haven't ever been, you need free breakfast this coming Wednesday, come and eat with us.
There's a men.
Men only. Well, somebody brought a woman last week. But it's okay. It's okay. My wife's been threatening to come too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house and worshiping you. And Father, We thank you that there is rest for the soul in you. God, help us to put this message into practice and trust you. And then, Lord, help us to share it with the world around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.